I want to say I'm glad you're here today, and I know God has something for you today. He has something for all of us today, and I just hope that we'll receive it. Daniel Couch is our guest evangelist today, and this evening, and tomorrow and Tuesday, and Daniel's going to come and bring a word to the church, and you'll notice in your bulletins, there's kind of an explanation of what revival is. We've never done a revival here before. Daniel's preached here before. On a Sunday morning, but we've never done a really full-blown revival. You don't hear much about them these days in a lot of modern churches, but you know, revival means to bring it back, to bring something back, to renew, to refresh, and to recharge. And it doesn't matter who we are. If you're a pastor or if you've just been saved, you need revival. We all need to be revived and refreshed in our spirit by the Lord. And I believe Daniel's got a word for us today. So please welcome Daniel Couch, evangelist today. I call him friend and I call him brother.
Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise today.
Come on, what a God. I am on fire today. You will know why in a minute. I have had some major encounters and experiences with God in the last few months. And the last one occurred yesterday at 27,000 feet on an airplane. I haven't even shared this with Brother Leonard. I've had to bite my tongue on both sides to keep from sharing this. But number one, let me say today, you're not going to be out in 45 minutes. Okay, I appreciate this crowd. The rest of you will catch up in a little while, all right? I got an amen corner over here. That's all I need right there, all right? All of you don't have to like me, just a few in this corner. That's all I need. So I am not in a hurry. I spent $472 on a plane ticket that I paid out of my pocket to get here. I left my wife and my two beautiful children back in Alabama. I'm sleeping in a bed that don't even belong to me, and I'm not asking you for a dime. I'm not in a hurry. I've come for a revival this week. I've done this for 21 years, full time. I haven't had a secular paycheck in 21 years. I've lived by faith, just trusting the Lord to meet my family's needs. Boy, has He. I'll get into more of that in a minute. But it's very important today that you know me a little bit before we get started into the Word. And I want to share just a few basic experiences I've had lately to kind of all of us get on the same page. Recently, in December, I returned from Zambia, Africa. I went to Africa. It's my third time being in Africa. I went to Africa and preached a national conference for the nation of Zambia. I gave an altar call there in Zambia for first-time salvations. I went to the back of the altar call line. It was a quarter mile long. First-time salvations. Not just children, but I'm talking about people in their 80s. One lady was 87 years of age and never found Jesus. And God took an ex-crack cocaine addict, male dancer, drug dealer, alcoholic, pill-popping pervert, transplanted me into His amazing grace, put me on a jumbo jet. We'll get it later. I'm preaching right now. If that don't work, I'm still on fire. I'll preach anyhow, all right? And, well, it really took a lick, didn't it? And wind up, I mean, you can't have revival without opposition from the enemy, all right? Either that was the devil or my stupidity for not tightening a knob, all right? But we'll blame it on the devil to begin with. Move on later. And transported me all the way 6,000 miles on the other side of a nation to win a lady with 87 years of age that never heard the gospel before. What an amazing God. That's the kind of God we serve. After that took place, I wind up coming back to the States. And we had a revival where they brought a lady up to, well, it was still there in Africa. They brought a lady up to us that was 62 years of age and never had hearing. She was born with no eardrums. And she wind up, we prayed for her, just an elementary prayer. She screamed, hollered, run around the place. But that was the end of it. That's all I'd heard of. Got back on the plane, come home. Make a long story short, 4 weeks ago, I got an email from Africa where her hearing has been 100% restored. She's already learning one of the Zambian languages. And when I get back to Zambia this coming November, she will be my interpreter. What a God. What a God. Hey, it still works. What a God. Now, yesterday, 27,000 feet on Delta Airlines. We're flying in. I'll be honest with you, I was tired. I've had a long week. And we're just kind of cruising there. And a lady right sitting up next to me, but right here, fainted in the floor. Just fell out of her seat and fainted. Well, you know, in this Facebook Save You Drama for Your Mama society we live in today, of course, chaos takes place. Saw the lady was still breathing. I have no medical experience, but I knew she wasn't dead. Well, the place went crazy. They start pulling bottles out, and I understand it's protocol. But it was causing chaos on the airplane. People were pulling cell phones out and videoing and, I mean, anything to get a quick fix on YouTube. And I said, settle down. I said, it's fine. I'm a minister. Let me pray for her. And I prayed for her. The lady sat up on the floor, started bawling like a baby. The guy sitting across from her, I didn't even pray a fancy prayer, man. I just prayed an elementary prayer. Just, you know, fix this. And this guy starts breaking down crying. We kept on flying there. They put her back in her seat. They give her some oxygen. They give her something to drink, settle her down, cold rag. This dude turns around in the seat in front of me. He says, you're a preacher? I said, yes, sir. He said, I'm a backslidden youth pastor. He said, I need God, man. And he said, will you pray for me? Most folks would have said, yeah, when I get on the ground, get back to the room behind closed doors in my private session. Not me. Don't ask for a prayer if you don't want it. Man, I cut loose on that feller. He had snot dripping 4.5 inches out of his nose. I thought they was going to have to get another bottle. Come on, amen. Wind up leading him back to the Lord yesterday at 27,000 feet and had a captive audience. I mean, the question is, what are they going to do with me? Pitch me out the door? Come on, amen. God is an awesome God. So I showed up in town last night. I'm walking on cloud 9 right now. I'm very excited and ecstatic to be at Heart Cry. God is about to turn somebody's life right side up in this room today, right now. You don't have to wait till tomorrow night. You don't have to be back tonight at 6:30 looking for it. You can get it right now this morning. Somebody's marriage was headed for the rocks yesterday. Before I get through, it's going to be headed to the rock. Come on, amen. Somebody's about to make a U-turn in this house today. I believe it with all of my heart. Had a revival previously this year. Showed up in Kentucky in a little cow pasture. Little country white church, had 27 people. Pastor was chewing tobacco. They were playing Bible trivia for Sunday school. Everybody had a guitar. None of them were in tune. Anybody ever been to that church? Raise your hand. Come on, amen. All right. Now, I'm not making fun of country folks because I'm one myself. All right. I'm a deer hunter and a fisherman. All right. So I love it. Nothing better, amen, than smelling like a doe and looking like a tree. All right. So that's me. Anyhow, we got out there and then I said, man, Lord, what am I doing here? Everybody's in overhauls. I'm in a suit. Made them mad Sunday morning. Ticked them off. Come back Sunday night. Ticked the rest of them off. Monday, I didn't want to be there. I cried and whined, pined to God. Lord, I don't even want to be here. We don't have any chemistry. These people are in one element of the society. I'm in another. And this ain't working, God. I've done ticked everybody off. Word's out in the community. Don't go down there. He's, you know, he's smart aleck. And Tuesday, went up Monday night, 17 got saved. They didn't have but 23 to begin with. 17 got saved. Pastor laid his Levi Garrett on the. Now, I did make a little statement about that, how stupid it is to put something in your mouth you won't even step in. But anyhow, he wound up getting delivered from tobacco. God moved mightily. By the end of the week, amen, with revivals done broke out. We wound up going 4.5 weeks. 120 souls got saved in a little community. Amen. We're a little country. I'm telling you something. God's not dead. He's still alive. The same thing that happened there can happen here. Two choices will be made in this room today. Some of you are going to take another trip around the mountain. Say, that guy's not for me. I don't believe his stories. He's a liar. Should be on TBN. Okay? That's right. Televised biblical nonsense. Others of you today will get out of your seat. You'll hit an altar and you'll say, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. Others of you, amen, will look over the wife sitting beside you and say, I've been a jerk, sweetheart. It's time for a change in our home. Some of these kids today that are playing games in this room today are about to have themselves an encounter with God, and they didn't wake up today planning on it. There's fixing to be a revolution at Heart Cry, and you're going to be here to witness it. You're going to make one of two choices. You're going to leave the same way you came and be miserable. Avoid me tonight, refuse to come Monday night, and I'll be off your mind by Tuesday. Or you will come back and support this revival, even though it's not tradition to have revival at Heart Cry. Personally, amen, my logo for this year has been breaking routine in 2016. I am sick and tired of routine. I am sick and tired of ritual. I'm sick and tired of religious form. Listen, routine, all it does is kill motivation. There is a remnant in this room today that is sick and tired of doing it again. You get out of the car, you come in the house, you sit down, we flip on the lights. Did nothing happen last time we sang that song, but let's sing it again. Did nothing happen last time we preached that series, but let me teach it again. Did nothing happen last time, amen, I sit over there, but let me sit there again. Did nothing happen last time we done communion, but pass it out again. And there's a remnant at Heart Cry right now, and it's not just this corner, that is sick and tired of just going through the motions of what used to have life, used to have joy, and used to provoke victory. Now you just get out of the car, come in here, sit, soak, sire, and soul on a church pew, and leave wondering, why did I even go? And let me tell you something. That's not Leonard's fault. You are where you are right now because of choices nobody has made but you. It's where you are. Now, if you don't know it by now, let me go ahead and say today, I'm not a professional. I swapped my crack rock for the solid rock. I didn't go to seminary. I'm not very educated. Not at all. I'm very plain spoken. I'm brash. I don't dance. So if you're looking for Joel Osteen, I'm not him. I didn't come today with cotton candy. Make you feel right without living right. If you're into the game business playing, I'm not your man. If you have no desire to change, you're welcome to leave anytime. I told Leonard, I don't want a dime for this revival. Nothing. I know the church don't have a lot right now. I know you're sucking wind. You're struggling in finances. I get all of that. I came anyway. Why? Because I'm on a mission. I went on a fast for this church for many, many days. When I was here in February, I walked into Brother Leonard's office. I said, can I have a meeting with you? He said, yes. And I poured my heart out to him with tears running down my face. This church needs a revival, Leonard. Leonard broke down and he said this, then we'll have one. Let me tell you something, church. It's time for a change. It's time for a change. You don't need a new pastor. And you don't need to run off with the rest of them, find a new church. What you need to do today is repent for lukewarmness. You need to ask God's forgiveness for your priorities being out of line. You need to open up your spirit today, unlock the door, and let me in. Because if you don't, I'm going to tear the door off the hinges because I'm coming anyhow. All right? We're not going to vote on that. Amen. I'm here to have a revival. I'm here to see a move of God. I want to get on that plane and fly out of Orlando looking back out the window and saying, God, you're not dead. You're still alive. I'm for you, church. I am an evangelist. There's a fivefold ministry. The apostle, the prophet, the pastor, the teacher, the evangelist. I'm the guy on the end of the totem pole. But let me tell you something. He's the pastor. I'm the evangelist. Let me tell you the difference. It's his job to get you to the promised land. But it's my job to get you out of Egypt. Right? And I know what some of you are thinking right there. Well, I'm not in Egypt. I'm not through either. Okay? So listen to me carefully. I'm not arrogant. You get around me, you get to know me. I'm a funny guy. I love to laugh. I love to cut up. I'll pull pranks on you. Amen. I love to have fun. But this is serious business today. Very serious business. People are blowing their brains out left and right. Pornography is in this house. It's on your cell phones. It's on your laptops. Some of you are fornicating. That's right. Some of you are lying. You lied on your taxes. You still haven't repented for that. It's truth. You don't pay your tithe. Some of you are not even saved. Some of you are in positions here in this ministry, and you never even had an encounter with God. Come on, folks. Now think about that. Your whole life is about making a dollar. That's why you won't be back this week, because you're busy trying to make money. How's that working for you? How's that mindset working? We need a revival. We need one right here today. Now, it's getting quieter and quieter. The more I talk, it's getting really, really quiet. That means it's working. Huh? Because the first thing, in order to have a revival, I got to get past that religious spirit that's just, you know, always about emotions. And I want to get beyond that today. I want to help you, church. Please give me an opportunity today. Let me be who I am. Here's the number one problem in this room today. Most of you have never been exposed to a true called evangelist. And so if you're not careful, you'll take offense to me because I come off too strong. I call a doorknob, and a poodle, a poodle. I'm not into political correctness. Let me tell you why. The reason why America's in the mess it is in today, and the reason why the best two choices we can come up with is Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, is because this pulpit's been silent for the last 25 years in America. That's why we're in the mess we're in right now. That's exactly why we're in this mess. Because of political correctness in the pulpit that does its best to not offend anybody except God. That's exactly right. I know I'm right. You don't have to amen that. But I know I'm right. We're in a mess today. An absolute mess. We've turned this lifeboat into a showboat. And we've turned an experience into a performance. I mean, just look around your city. Look around your city. That has to stop. So for those of you that don't want change, you won't be back. So take another trip around the mountain. Maybe we'll meet again. For those of you in this room today that have had it to hear, sick of routine. I'm done living like this. I am miserable, preacher. I need God to invade my life. Then you're going to have a revival this week. Let's give him praise for what's about to happen in this room. Amen. Here's what I've done. I have released your pastor from two things. I've released him from financial burden. Don't worry about money, Leonard. Don't worry about it. Because I've been in this church before, and I know that his heart is a giving heart. I've been here when Heart Cry had money. And I left unbelievably blessed. So I know the atmosphere and the heartbeat of this ministry. Number one, I'm not here for your money. Number two, I don't want him worrying about whether you come back or not. If it's just 13 of us tonight, we're going to have ourselves a neck-jerking Pentecostal buffalo fit. All right? So if you think you're going to affect us by staying at home, we're disappointed, but we're not discouraged. We're going to have a revival this week. I've already gave up too many Chick-fil-A sandwiches. I've turned away too many malt milkshakes. I've lost 12 pounds preparing for this revival, and I'm not kidding. So hear me clearly. My homework is done, and I'm here to have some church. So I want you to look over at your neighbor and say this. It's time for a change. If you have your Bibles this morning, I want you to turn with me to Deuteronomy, chapter number 2. By the way, go buy you a Dell notebook here. These things are tough. Real tough. Okay, the reason I have a laptop is no different than you having a screen. It's not the message. Or it's not the method. It's the message. So don't get upset that I'm using a laptop preaching off of today. I do a lot of flying and a lot of traveling, and I can't take 250 pound of books with me. All right, so I try to pre-record everything in here. Now let me say this on a lighter note today, guys. Thank you for the invitation to be here. I took up a lot of time this morning. I'll get more into my testimony as we go along so you can get to know me better. But I want you to know today, ultimately, it's not about me, nor is it about you. It's about a relationship with Jesus Christ. So let's start that journey this morning. Amen. And let's give your pastor a hand clap this morning for opening a revival for us. That he's revival minded. Thank you, Brother Leonard, for making this happen. Thank you so much. Revival is refresh your faith, recharge your spirit, and renew your commitment. Somebody say commitment. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 2. Could I get you to stand one more time today for the reading of the word of the Lord? Deuteronomy chapter number 2. Verse 1 reads this way. I'm going to read this out of the King James. And then we're going to put up three different versions on the screen. I want you to notice what those versions say. Here's the King James. Then we turned and took our journey into the wilderness. Somebody say our journey. Look at me for a minute. Anytime you do it your way, you will end up in a wilderness. The Bible says in Luke chapter 15 that the prodigal son took his journey into a far country. Anytime you do it your way, you will end up not only in a wilderness, but eventually a far, far country. That's where some of you are at right now. You spent your whole life peering into a pond, trying to find love, hope, and meaning in nobody's reflection but your own. How's that working for you, friend? It's not. You're self-absorbed. You're very controlling. You're demanding. And you're miserable. Let's do it God's way. The Bible says, amen, they took their journey into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea as the Lord spake unto me, and we compassed Mount Seir many days. There's routine right there. And the Lord spake unto me, saying, here's where it changes. Verse 3, last verse. Ye have compassed this mountain long enough. Turn ye northward. Now, I want you to look on the screen today as we throw a different version up here. I want you to look at verse 3 on the screen. You have been going around in circles in these hills long enough. Go north. Look at the next. You have skirted this mountain long enough. Turn northward. One last version. Watch this. You have made your way around this hill country long enough. Now, look at your neighbor and say, now. Turn north. The title of my message today is simply, it's time for change. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over and over and expecting a different result. Let me say this, and you can be seated after I make this comment. If you want to see what you've never saw, and you want to have what you've never had, then today you got to be willing to do what you've never done and be willing to go where you've never been. Sweetheart, this is not about what your boyfriend thinks, whether you come to an altar or not. If you're good enough to have sex with, you ought to be good enough to marry. And if you're not good enough to marry, send him on down the road. Any old dog can lay with any old dog in the community. You hear me? The truth is, change needs to take place today in relationships. Some of you are shacking up and not even married. The Bible says that the older to be an example to the younger. What kind of example are you setting, Grandma and Grandpa? If it's all right for Grandma and Grandpa to shack up, it's all right for Johnny and Jill to do the same. We've thrown our morals out the window today, and it takes a revival to bring change. Say this with me. True conviction. Christians, welcome. God, convict us in this house today. Change our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. You can be seated this morning. Amen. Here we go. I come into this house today with one single word in my spirit. Change. I really don't know how long I'm going to be on this subject. I made a point to bring fresh bread to Kissimmee, Florida. I'm not the type of preacher that runs around preaching the same exact messages at all different churches. Here's the reason why. Because that's what everybody else does. You got evangelists today that have five messages at the beginning of January, and they preach them same five messages all year long. They don't change messages, they just change crowds. But the problem with that is this. I think Heart Cry needs to hear from God, not the evangelist. I think Heart Cry needs a fresh word from God. Not that what God spoke to you before I got here wasn't of any value. I just think we need to hear from God. And the truth of the fact of it is, amen, is that I asked God for fresh bread, fresh instructions, and fresh guidance before I ever started preparing for this revival. The best way to do that is through extended fasting. Asking God to break down my flesh, make my spirit sensitive, so that I know beyond a shadow of a doubt this is God. God spoke to my heart and said emphatically that it's time for Heart Cry to experience change. When change, what does it mean? I looked it up in a Webster dictionary just yesterday as a last resort. And the Webster dictionary defines the word change simply this, to become different. I can use that today. Can anybody testify honestly without looking at your spouse that there are areas of your life where things need to be different? Raise your hand. Okay, if your hand's not up, you're a liar. And that needs to be different. Because there's not a person in this room today that doesn't need some level or some form of change. We're living in a society today that seeks change. Extreme makeovers where they're pulling this out and trimming that down and blowing this up, deflating that. Honey, you're going to look real funny when you turn 85. Come on, amen. We need an extreme makeover in the church today, not with our flesh. We're in a mess in this society today, an absolute mess, simply because we refuse change. Because, you see, listen, change is something that, you know, everybody's 100% for progress. It's just all this change we're against, right? Live in a world that hates change. Live in churches that hates change. But change is the only thing that's ever brought progress. You cannot stop change from happening around you. You can't do it. You either adjust to change or you flat out resist change. I absolutely abhor what our society is becoming today. I do not appreciate the homosexual move today. And there very may well be some homosexuals in this room today. So don't just amen me until I start talking about your son. Okay? Because the truth of the fact of it is, homosexuality is an abomination to God. That's exactly right. Matter of fact, let me go a little further. Unless you were born with a uterus and a birth canal, you will never be a female Bruce Jenner. Try something different. The truth is, we're living in a society today where we're so screwed up, we don't know whether we're going or coming anymore. The fact of it is, if you think you were born gay, get born again. That'll fix you right there. Hello, amen. This is where we are today. You say, well, brother, you don't have a right to be that way. We have homosexuals in our family. I love them. I talk to them. I have dialogues with them. They love me. I don't beat them over the head. They know where I stand. I know where they are. I believe we ought to not look at homosexuals for what they are, but for what they can be. The same thing goes with drug addicts. The same thing goes with alcoholics. The same thing goes for some of you in this room hollering amen. We're looking at pornography. Come on. The truth of the fact of it is we ought not look at one another for what we are, but we ought to see one another for what we can be. But let me tell you something. They don't just want liberated. They came out of the closet and trying to stuff the church in it. There's where they draw the line. We've got a problem in our society today when 3% of the population is dictating amen, amen, what our nation is going to be. We need a revival in this nation. We need a revival of morals again. We need a revival of biblical values again. And if that offends you, get saved. We need strong preaching again in this nation. We've got too many speakers and not enough preachers. The truth of the fact of it is, I believe, amen, the Bible says you've been in this place long enough. In other words, you've been in this life cycle, this life situation long enough. Can I get an amen from me? You've been defeated long enough. You've been empty long enough. You've been in the grip of fear and frustration long enough. You've simply been around and around and around this mountain, stuck at the gate, locked in the routine, spinning your wheels in utter boredom long enough. I'm talking about you and I becoming different right here, right now. Give him praise if you agree. Change. Change must begin in the house of God among the people of God. Change doesn't begin in the White House. We tried that 8 years ago. Look what a mess we got now. And if that ticked you off, you're the one I'm talking to. Huh? I'm not politically correct, friend. I call it like it is. It's where we are today. I find witnesses everywhere that I go that desperately desire change. Areas of their lives where they wish things was different. It may be your financial situation that needs to change. It could be your relationships that need to change. Come on, teenagers. You know, when you run with dogs, you get fleas. Okay? Right? So it may be your relationships that need to change. It may be the emotional arena of your life. You can't blame it on hormones every day. Or, sir, you can't blame it on midlife crisis. After a while, you need to cry out to God and say, God, change me. Help me to accept who I am. The truth is, amen, it could be your physical situation that needs to change. We talked about a miracle that took place at Heart Cry this week. Isn't that amazing when change comes? What a beautiful thing. Sweetheart, I don't even know where you are, but I miss you already. Come on, amen. Amen. What a change. What a miracle. Healed of cancer. I see you. Listen to me. It could be the struggle with your health. It may be the fact that your priorities are totally out of alignment at Heart Cry. And despite how good God's been to you, you still find time to do everything except make God, family, and church attendance top priority. Scripture tells us you've compassed this mountain long enough. Scripture tells us you've been here long enough. Tell your neighbor, enough is enough. I've had enough of hell in my life. I've had enough of fear and confusion. I've had enough of discouragement. I've had enough of lack. I've had enough disappointment. I've had enough rejection and betrayal. I've had enough disorganized priorities. I've had enough of misery and defeat. I've had enough of shame. I've had enough of carrying around guilt and condemnation. I don't know who I'm talking to this morning, but somebody needs a turnaround at heart cry, and you need it right here. You need it right now. Somebody in this room is facing a situation that is impossible for you to change on your own. Your marriage is a wreck. You've screwed up, sir. You got caught. You're busted. And the only reason why you're together right now is because she don't want to divorce you for the sake of the kids. No, nobody's been talking to me. Not in this room. The truth of the fact of it is, God can heal that today. God can fix that today. Your marriage is not the first to experience infidelity. You're not the first one, sir, to get caught. Come clean. Pull off your mask. Puke that filth out of you. Lay down, you humble yourself before the hand of God and say, God, fix this mess I've created. The truth is, some of you in this house today are facing a situation that is impossible for you to change on your own. Somebody is dealing with a situation that's totally out of your hands. Somebody else needs a miracle in your finances. You've done all you know to do, but instead of things getting better, it looks even worse. God told me in prayer just this morning as I got up that somebody would be at heart cry today who is standing in the gap for their children. You are standing in the gap for your spouse. You are standing in the gap for a family member. And you know that if God doesn't move, they're in trouble. I come to tell you today, church, that I serve a God of turnarounds. Hallelujah. I said I serve a God of turnarounds. Amen. That book laying right there in your lap, Brother Gary, that book, Brother Rudy, is a book about turnarounds. I started out in January to see how long it takes to read the whole entire Bible through. That just old country, Alabama country, redneck face. I'm not a speed reader. All right, I can get hung up on the word is. Come on, amen. All right, is that is or si? Come on, amen. And so I get twisted. So I'm looking at this, and I said, Lord, teach me to understand how long does it take. Because we come out all these little pamphlets and little schemes and little rig jobs of how we can read it through in a whole year. And what provoked this is I looked on YouTube the other day, people who've got their first Bible in life, and it was in China. And how they begin to just cry and weep and scream and jump. Their addiction, their love, their passion for the Word of God is beyond mine. And I'm in America and I've got 13 Bibles. Okay? And so it convicted me. I said, God, look at this. And so I set out in January to see how long it takes to read the whole entire Bible through. I'm not being arrogant, I'm just giving you the facts. It took me 72 hours and 40 minutes to read the whole entire Bible. From the book of Genesis all the way to the book of Revelations. From the first word of Genesis end to the last word of Revelations, amen. It took 72 hours and 40 minutes. Now, did I stay up and read that consistently? No. I did go to bed. All right? So let's clarify that. Dude, that dude right there's got some stamina. No, I don't got that good. But I read. Matter of fact, it took me basically about a little over 7 days to read the whole entire Bible. All I'd done was just read. So it took me 18 hours and 20 minutes to read just the New Testament. Psalms took the longest in the Old Testament, and Luke took the longest in the New Testament. The truth of the fact of it is, amen, is I can tell you that in every chapter of the Bible, it is a chapter about turnarounds. There is one central theme woven from beginning all the way to the very end, and that is God turns things around. The truth of the fact of it is, one of the worst case scenarios in the Bible, it may not be the worst, but in my opinion, it ranks in the top five. One of the worst case scenarios in the Bible is Ezekiel chapter 37. Listen to this. What is Ezekiel 37? You know the story. The Valley of Dry Bones. It is a terrible situation. It is a terrible, terrible situation. The fruit, it looked hopeless. It looked impossible. It was beyond the point of no return. There was nothing but a cold, dead graveyard. Brother Carlos, when the man of God started cooperating with the Spirit of God, things started changing. The situation began to turn around. That's what I have to invoke today while I'm in town. is that you need to learn the importance, the riches, and the value of cooperating with the Spirit as well as you do with your flesh. You hear that? You've got to learn to cooperate with the Spirit of God. The truth of the fact of it is, when the man of God started cooperating, things started turning around. God took an impossibility and absolutely brought life out of a dead place. God took one man that was willing to say, "Yes, Lord, I've had enough of misery and defeat," and used that one man to turn an entire graveyard full of dead bones into an exceeding great and mighty army full of strength and power. That sounds like what I want to see at Heart Cry. Come on. That sounds exactly, amen, what my reason for being here is. Amen. I already know there's a mighty army. I already know there's soldiers in this house. I already know there's generals in the faith. But they're tired. And they've been beat up out there. The truth is, I feel a turnaround in the atmosphere already. And we ain't even an hour into this message. I feel a turnaround in the anointing in this place today. I'm looking around the room and some of you, amen, look like a cow staring at a brand new gate. Others of you on the edge of your seat soaking up every word coming out of my mouth. Some of you need to blink. If not, I'm fixing to wet your eye socket. Come on, amen. All right. Show some sign of life. You almost look like you come out of the Nazarene. Come on, amen. Hello. All right, there's life here. You can relax. I'm not going to hurt you. I won't call you out. But I will not apologize, amen, for being a live wire without insulation either. Come on, amen. We need Holy Ghost power back in the pulpits. We need fire back in the house. You couldn't take this kind of preaching every week. But for some of you, you do need it for a few days. All right? Listen to me. All it took to experience a turnaround. All it took to experience a change in the atmosphere. Somebody say, all it took. All it took to make a difference was obedience. A willingness to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. You know what, guys? I ran into a lady here a while back in Oklahoma City. I was preaching revival there. And the Spirit of God told her, when she come walking out of Walmart, I met this lady, it was really cool. And she come walking out of Walmart that day, and she had her groceries in her arms. It's a true story. I'm going to tell it exactly like she shared it with me. She said she walked out on the curb and was fixing to go to her car, and cars were coming by. She's kind of halted here. She kind of stopped, waiting on holding her groceries. And all of a sudden, she took a step off the curb. When she did, the Spirit of God told her, said, jump back on the curb. So she stepped back up on the curb. The Spirit of God said, set your groceries down. She set her bags down. I mean, there's no harm. Nobody knows what she's doing. The Spirit of God spoke to her and said, you see that Pepsi Cola machine? She looked over there. Yeah, had Jeff Gordon all over it. So do a headstand by the drink box machine. Do what? Do a headstand by the drink box machine. Oh, I reacted just like you, sis. I was like, really? A headstand at Walmart, a female at that. She picked her groceries back up. That's what I'd done. Come on, amen. She went to take a step off the curb, and when she did, the Spirit of God spoke to her and said, let me tell you something, Peggy. The price of obedience is nothing compared to the price of disobedience. You get in that car and you drive off, and it's going to cost you a whole lot more than what it does doing a headstand by a drink box machine. She stepped back up on the curb and set her groceries down and began to weep. She felt His presence. You know, we always talk a lot about the sheep know His voice and a stranger they'll not follow. That ain't always cool. Sometimes God will ask you to do things, as He has in my life. You can pull up on YouTube, The Bold Preacher, and watch me preach at Applebee's. That ain't easy. You can pull up, you know, where I preach on airplanes. It's not easy. It's not easy at all. But when God tells you to do something, God has an agenda. God has a plan, and it was created before you were ever formed. And I want to be a participant, not a spectator, but a participator. But it's not always easy. I said, Peggy, what'd you do? She said, brother, I stood there for what seemed like 15 minutes to contemplate and getting doing a headstand or getting in the car. I said, well, what did you do? She started grinning. I said, you did it. That's my kind of girl. Cha-ching. Come on. Amen. Hello. Huh? I said, tell me what happened. She said, oh, brother, couch. She started breaking, crying there. She said, I set my groceries down. And she said, I kind of waited that nobody was around. She said, but the longer I waited, the more people came. I said, that's God, isn't it, Peggy? She said, yeah. I said, so what did you do? Get on with it. You sound like Trump. Come on, hey, tell me, give me some substance. Come on, hey, man, hello. She took off running over there. She said, throwed her head on the concrete, flipped her feet up and touched the wall, jumped down, ran over and grabbed her girl, took off across the parking lot, jumped in the car, slammed the door, cranked it up, put it in reverse, clicked the seatbelt, fisting to give it gas. And a man come walking up beside her car, started beating on the glass and said, roll your window down. She said, I cracked my window just a little bit and I hollered out, what do you want? Said he had real long hair, said he had a big old facial beard, tattoos all over like a biker in leather chaps. She said, I didn't know what he wanted. I said, well, what did he want? She said, he asked me, what did I do that for? And I said, what did you say? She said, because God told me to. I said, cha-ching, that's Peggy. Come on, amen. And she said, what? I said, what did you do then? She said, he fell down on the asphalt, threw his hands up in the air, began to ask God for forgiveness and repent of his sins. She said, I jumped out of the car and got down there with him and said, what are you doing? He said, lady, I was sitting in a 1982 Cutlass Supreme with a 357 cocked to the gill, listening to blow my brains out in the parking lot. And I said, God, if there's any hope for me, if you still love me, if you still have a desire for me, then prove yourself to me beyond coincidence. Just have somebody come out of Walmart and do a headstand by the drink box machine, and then I'll know that you love me. I'm telling you right now, amen, we need a revival at Heart Cry, amen, that'll make people flip upside down at Walmart. We need a Heart Cry revival that'll change the way we walk, change the way we talk. We need that, church. Enough of just coming to church, going through the routine and worship service being compatible, amen, with going to the loop. Now you want to go shopping or go to church? You need a revival. You could have went shopping yesterday. Huh? It's where we are, guys. The truth of the fact of it is, I feel somebody getting a breakthrough at Heart Cry right now. Somebody's getting a made up mind. You didn't like me to start with, but you starting to change your mind a little. Somebody's getting free in their emotions. Somebody's marriage is going to do a U-turn. Sickness is leaving you. Pain is leaving your body. By his stripes, you were healed. I got to tell somebody in this house, listen to me carefully. Somebody here today, Brother Leonard, has been in a season. A season means not a few hours, a few days, or a few weeks, or even a few months. But a season. You've been in a season of utter defeat. That's where you've been. God has seen the tears you have cried. God is aware of your degree of loneliness and heartache. He has watched you cry yourself to sleep with more questions than you have answers. But it's a new season for Heart Cry, my friend. There's a new season on the horizon for this ministry. It's a new season of new beginnings. I prophesy, and I'm not a prophet, but I know when God speaks to me. I prophesy to those in this house that are hurting, that God is about to close this chapter today in your life and open up a brand new heading before this service is complete. That's going to happen within the next 45 minutes in this room. Is anybody ready to step out of the old into the new? Come on. Hello. I said, is anybody ready to step out of the old into the new? Huh? Listen. Somebody in this place this morning needs to light the fuse to their faith. Take a step. Take a prophetic step of moving into the new. You ought to grab a neighbor by the hand and help them get to their blessing. Isaiah 43 says, remember you not the former things and neither even consider. Don't even let it cross your mind, things of the old. Behold, now it shall spring forth. I will do a new thing. Scripture tells us, Pastor, that God is doing something fresh and new. But Sister Shirley, listen to me. Listen to this, church. Tap your neighbor on the shoulder and say, listen. You got to hear this, guys. The condition. So that's what's wrong with these televised preachers. They preach promises without conditions. They're preaching financial promotion to perverts. Don't even pay their tithe. Got roving eyes. Come on, eat up with lust. And you want to talk about financial prosperity with them? No, let me tell you something. If you're preaching promises without conditions, then, sir, what you're preaching is an outright biblical lie. Because the Bible says, if you be willing and obedient, then you eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, then you shall be devoured. Right? If any man be in Christ, there's the condition. Here's the promise. He's a new creature. Old things pass away, all things become new. God's promises are attached to conditions. So hear this closely. The condition for stepping out of the old into the new, the requirement is letting go of the old. Now, nobody's shouting on that. But let me say something. When I put this down in my notes, God told me to highlight it in purple. You may not be able to see it from the back, but if you see on my screen, you'll see in my notes something highlighted in purple. Anytime I highlight something like that, what God is saying to me is to slow down and make sure this seed gets in the soil. I want you to hear what I'm fixing to say. This is not for the next week. This is for this church today. One of the greatest hindrances to heart cries breakthrough is your memory. God says that this church has a tendency. Some of you want to drag your past into your future. But God is saying to you today, not me, I didn't make this up, that the only way to get the new is you're going to have to come to this altar and be willing to let go of the old. When Elijah ascended into the heavens, I've heard this preached all my life. I'm 43 years of age and I cut my teeth on Pentecostal pews in a camp meeting with alfalfa. I'm not lying to you. Alfalfa, no, he didn't have a twig. He was an old man back then. All right, come on, amen. Little rascals. Young generation saying, who? Okay, anyway. Cut my teeth listening to alfalfa in a camp meeting as a baby. And all my life, I've heard Elijah and Elisha being preached. Chariot of fire swooped up into the heavens. Mantle fell back down. Grabbed it. Went back to the river Jordan. Smote the rivers away. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? Rolled back. Went across and got the 50 sons of the prophets on the hillside. I get all of that. But here's one thing we keep leaving out of the message that is so crucial. When Elijah ascended into the heavens in a chariot of fire, Elisha prepared himself to receive the double portion. By doing what? Showing up? Yeah, he had to be there to see him leave. But there was something else he did. He stripped himself of his old clothes. Go read the story. He took hold of his own clothes and rent them into pieces. To get the new, the double portion, you're going to have to separate yourself from the old. You've got to do that mentally. You've got to do that physically. You've got to do that emotionally. And in some cases, watch this, you may even have to do it relationally. You've got to let it go and forget it, friend. You've got to let go of the good, the bad, and the ugly. Listen to me carefully. Some of you have destroyed every good thing that's ever come into your life. Here's why. Because you always process everything new through the lens of past disappointments, past hurts, and past wounds. Perfect example. I live in a place called Valermosa Springs. Don't try to say that. Just believe me. Okay? And we have a little post office right down from my house. Very convenient. A little post office. It's so little, it only stays open 12 o'clock every day and it closes up. It's gone. We have a lady there and her name is Jill. And I've been befriending Jill off and on. She's a new one there. She's been there probably just for a few months. I've been befriending her and cutting up with her. I go in every day because I sell stuff on eBay and blah, 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 and ship stuff off. And so I go in there. Well, she told me the other day, she knows I'm a preacher. She told me the other day, she said, Friday will be my last day, which would have been this past Friday. I said, really? She said, yeah, I got a greater promotion. I'm going into Huntsville, Alabama to work and blah, blah, blah. I said, oh, really? She said, yeah. She said, and me and Chris is going to build a house. Well, her and Chris are not married. And I know that. She said, yeah, me and Chris is going to build a house there in Huntsville. I said, oh, watch this, how better. I said, oh, y'all getting married. Okay, I may be a little political correct. All right, come on in, man. I'm trying to go be gentle. I mean, I could have just grabbed her. Shake it up. All right, I didn't do that. I said, oh, y'all getting married. She said, no, we don't ever really talk about it. I said, Jill. She said, what? I said, you can't do that. And I said, what about your kids? He said, well, my youngest child's 27 years old. I said, what does that matter? What about the grandkids? What about an example? I said, you can't do that. She said, why? I said, Jill, you go to the Rock. Your pastor preaches against that. It's a big church in Huntsville where she can hide. Huh? I said, Rusty and Lisa preach against that. How do you know them? I know Rusty really well. I've preached at the Rock before. I said, I know what he stands for. She said, well, what do you think it is? I said, it's sin, Jill. There's no other way you can. Oh, well, I'm not going to go that far. I said, you will one day. I mean, she's leaving Friday. I won't see her again. So what's the heck? Right? It ain't like I got to go see her again this week. Come on. Amen. Hello. Right? I mean, we're done. And I said, you, here's something. I said, why won't you get married? Because we've been married before and it didn't work out. What is she doing, friend? What is she doing? She's doing exactly what I just said she's doing. She cannot receive the new because she tries to drag the old into the new, and she won't get married and commit because the last marriage got messed up. So she just lives in sin and enjoys the benefits of a friendship. Sin. Friends with benefits. That's called sex out of marriage. That's called fornication. That's called damnation. That's called eternal fire, God's judgment. All fornicators, that includes your daughter, ma'am. All fornicators, all liars, all thieves, all drunkards, all whoremongers shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone. I didn't write the book, but I've been authorized to tell you about it. Come on. And I'm telling you something. This is where we are today. We create our own values. We create our own morals. Amen. We create our own laws, our own rules. And God forbid anybody bring out book, chapter, and verse, because that's just something of the past. Let me tell you something, friend. Amen. God's word is still alive. It has hands that reaches out to me. It has feet that run after me. It's got a voice that lays hold on me. God's word is more alive today than it's ever been before. And I can tell by the look on some of your faces, that's the truth. So what is she doing? Here is a new opportunity. I'm just going to give an altar call here in a moment. Here is a brand new opportunity to push reset. Here is an opportunity in a moment to say, you know what? I screwed up. I'm a jerk. I've been doing it my own way, and no wonder I'm in the mess I'm in right now. See, some of you are ticked off at me already, but here's the thing I know. You were like that today before you met me. So you're not my problem, and I'm not yours. I'm doing a fantastic job and having fun at it too. Come on, amen. Hello! Huh? Not being arrogant, I'm just having fun. I'm at home at Heart Cry. How many of you have never heard me preach? Raise your hand. Okay, let me tell you, I was here before you. Right? All right, I was here before you. I hadn't just preached one service here. I've preached three times here. Come on, amen. So they say after three times, you're pretty much homegrown. Come on, amen. I mean, I walked in today and people called me by name. Hey, Daniel. Not Brother Couch, not preacher, not pastor. Hey, Daniel. Where does that come from? Friendships. I have friends at Heart Cry. This is a place where I can come, my wife can come, and I can bring my children, and I can sit back there without having to sing, without having to preach, without my name being spoken, even in the middle of a baptismal service, amen, and I can leave with tears running down my face and say, you know what? It was good, amen, to be in the house of the Lord today. Heart Cry is a place that this nation cannot afford to lose. Heart Cry is a place that Kissimmee cannot afford to lose. Heart Cry is a ministry, amen, that this world needs today. And I will make a deposit in it if I get nothing out of it, amen. I've already got my pay. Come on. By the simple fact, amen, that I felt the presence of God when I pulled in the parking lot today. Amen. I feel Him in this house today. He is here to mold. He is here to mend. He is here to reshape and refashion and renew. He is here to bring revival to your church. And that'll excite you today. You don't have revival every week. Well, I got to work this week. You don't have to work over. Well, the kids have got ball tournaments. Better not let me hear that. They can skip that game. I'm sick and tired of ball games interfering with what God's trying to do in this nation. Kids already have enough entertainment as it is. And they got nobody to blame but their parents. It's truth. True to the fact of it is, some have destroyed every good thing that God's ever brought into their life because they're always analyzing everything new through past disappointment. Well, I'm not going to join Heart Cry because the last church got messed up. Well, I'm not going to marry. You don't want to commit to nothing, friend. See, the pig said to the chicken, what are we going to have for breakfast? And the chicken said, well, it doesn't matter to me. What do you want? And the pig said, man, I'd love to have some eggs this morning. So the chicken laid a few eggs. A few minutes later, the chicken looked back up at the pig and he said, what are we going to have with these eggs? He said, I tell you what, you choose. I chose the eggs. What do you want? Chicken said, I'd love to have some ham. Ham and eggs would be awesome today. Ham and eggs, you kidding me? And the pig said, we're not having no ham. You forget that right now. And chicken said, well, how about some eggs and bacon? I'd love to have a little bacon on the side. Chicken said, come on, really? What do we want with these eggs? Now cut all that out. And chicken said, sausage? Egg, sausage? Pig turned around, just ticked off, just done with it. Sorry, chicken caught up with the pig and said, what's your problem, pig? He said, I'll tell you what the problem is. The problem is this. And you need to hear it, church. The problem is for you, it's just involvement. But for me, it's total commitment. And a lot of folks at Heart Cry just want to be involved, but you don't want to get committed. You don't pay your tithe. You don't support the vision. You're not a team player. And don't tell me, amen, you don't have anything to give. No. Let me clarify what you're really meaning. It's not that you don't have anything to give. Here's the truth. You don't have anything left to give. Want to know why? Because you spent $13 on a blooming onion last night at Outback. You don't just have a cell phone, but it's got to be look like a 4x8 sheet of plywood. And then you got to have eternal data on it. And not only you, but your wife has got to have one. And your 8-year-old son that don't even need a cell phone. That didn't cost you no extra either. You hear me? So what you've done now is handed your kids over to the world and let the world poison their little minds. And then when they grow up with no conscience, don't know right from wrong, won't obey, total in rebellion, got their hair hanging in their blooming face, don't even know how to get a haircut anymore. Come on. Hello, huh? Paint their hair blue, orange, green, yellow, and red. Don't know if they're human or peacock. You'll wonder why. Whoa, it's good preaching. Huh? You wonder why? What's wrong with him? Could have been at 9 years old. While he's in his bedroom with the door closed. You just wait. I'm telling you the truth. And the same truth that offends you is the same truth that has set you free. And I know what some of you are thinking. I almost read your lips a while ago, sweetheart, when you looked over at that husband. You're sitting there and said, he's just narrow-minded. Thank you for that compliment. I appreciate that. You didn't think I saw that, amen, but I did see that. And you know what? I take that as a supreme. That was worth even showing up for today. You want to know why? Because if I'm narrow-minded, that means I'm on a narrow way. Hello, amen. Glory to God. Thank you for noticing that. Come on, amen. Huh? And you might want to consider the same idea. I want to talk to somebody as I close that is standing on the edge of their miracle today at Heart Cry. There are those listening to this message this morning that are standing on the dividing line between yes and no. You're standing between just enough and more than enough. You're standing between struggling versus snuggling. God didn't call you to struggle. God called you to snuggle. You're standing between debt and debtless, weeping and rejoicing, and empty nets versus too much to handle. That's where you're standing. And here's the truth, friend. Most of us in this place have been here before. So close we could almost reach out and touch it. So close to peace that passes all understanding. So close to freedom and liberty like you've never experienced before. Amen. The truth of the fact of it is, but for one reason or another, amen, we wind up, amen, turning away and going our own separate deal. The truth of the fact of it is, listen to me carefully. I still have 8 pages left on this laptop just for the Sunday morning service. But I'm going to give you mercy. Give me a clap for that. Come on, amen. There you go. You're welcome. All right. Now, for those of you that didn't clap, amen, I ought to wear you out by another hour and a half. Come on, amen. But I'm not going to do that. So listen to me carefully. I'm going to close with this. Yesterday, I arrived in town, and I met up with a friend of mine, and we went down here to the Pizza Hut in St. Cloud. This is powerful. Walked into there, sat down at the table. It was all-you-could-eat buffet. One low price. So I sat down there. I thought, man, this is going to be awesome. All of a sudden, amen, the waiter came up, asked what to have to drink. I'll take water. He took water. We sat down. What'd you like to have? We'll take a buffet, please. Well, okay, thank you. She turned around and walked off. I was waiting on some silverware and plate. She come back without it. I said, ma'am, we need some utensils. If not, I'm just going to use what God gave me. And she said, well, sir, I'm sorry to not tell you that the buffet's closed. I said, what? She said, yes, it's 10 minutes after 1 o'clock and the buffet closed at 1. She said, we can't. I said, but ma'am, that thing's loaded down with, look at the pepperoni laying up there, breadsticks, lasagna, spaghetti. I said, what are you going to do with all that? Throw it out in the dumpster? She said, well, it is company policy. I said, I'll meet you there then, 10 minutes. How about that? She said, you can't do that. I said, well, it was worth a try. I said, so we can't have buffet? No, you can order off the menu. I said, don't want to do that. She said, okay. I said, well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to leave you a tip anyhow for just being honest. Anyway, it's not your fault. Thank you for the service. Got up, walked out. Later, he got in the truck. Brian looked over at me and asked me this question, Leonard. He said, Daniel. I said, yeah, I'm cranking it up. He said, can you just put it back in park? Put it back in park. I said, yeah, what's going on, buddy? He said, why are we leaving? I said, no buffet? My face closed. He said, well, why couldn't we just order off the menu? I said, why would you want to order off the menu, Brian? I'm thinking like an evangelist, full time, living my faith. I said, we could have paid less and got more. But you want to pay more and get less. And I said, but here's the biggest reason I'm leaving. I refuse, my God, hear me. I refuse to stay at the place where I can see it, I can smell it, I can sense it, but I cannot taste it nor partake of it. And that's exactly where Heart Cry is at right now. This church, for too long, and you get ticked off at me if you want to, from the pastor to the sound man. But thus saith the Lord, for too long God's been good to you. And you come walking in here every Sunday, content, happy, satisfied, to see it, smell it, and sense it. But you never put your foot down and say to your flesh, enough is enough. I've been around this mountain long enough. I'm going to taste it this time. I'm fixing to taste it. I'm fixing to experience it. I'm fixing to take a run and jump right in the middle of it. That's what I'm fixing to do. You know what? Everybody can laugh at me if they want to. Nobody's going to laugh, friend, because everybody's waiting on you. And you waiting on them. Right? Waiting on somebody to break the ice at Heart Cry. Even right now. Right while I'm preaching, just get up out of their seat and come to an altar and say, y'all sit if you want to. I need a change. Huh? I mean, I'm just being honest with you. Just to break routine, break all the monotony, break all the tradition, sick and tired of being sick and tired. I'm done just showing up and going through the motions of what should have life and joy and victory with it. I mean, y'all keep sitting there if you want to, amen. But you know what? Take yourself another trip around the mountain, but it ain't going to get any better, friend. It's going to get worse after today. Amen. Or you can come to an altar today and say, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I am done with just going through the motions of what ought to have life, ought to have victory, ought to have joy, and ought to have some spiritual stamina to it. Go ahead, sound man, if you will, please. No, I'm not ordering off a menu. I'm tired of menus. Selective service. You can turn that up, brother. Crank it right on up. Thank you. No, I don't want no menu. I want a buffet and nothing less to satisfy me. I'm tired of being told what I can and cannot order. I want all that God has for me. And it took a waiter yesterday in your hometown to tell me, no, the buffet's closed. And you know what? That's all the world's ever told me, church. The buffet's closed. Your God is dead. There'll never be any change. Daniel, you'll never amount to anything. Nobody likes your preaching. You preach too hard. You don't mind offending people. You're not politically correct. You preach way too long. I mean, people are used to only 30, 40 minutes of preaching. You go an hour and a half. You ain't never going to make it in life. They won't be back tonight. They won't come back Monday and Tuesday. At the end of this thing, Leonard's going to feel like a fool even booking it. And you talked him into it, Daniel. It'll all be your fault. Yeah, and you know what? I look at this altar call and call the devil a liar. Huh? Why are you men still sitting out there? You ought to be the leaders of your home. You too good to come to an altar? Get mad at me. I don't care. I'm telling you the truth. Some of you need pushed a little bit. You need shoved, as a matter of fact. You've been lazy. You're spiritually numb. You're not leading in your home. Your kids are left to pick up the tab. And you sit there looking like you don't even care today. What about it, friend? What about you mamas out there? Mamas, where are you leading your daughters? How about you, boyfriend, girlfriend? What y'all doing on Friday night when nobody's watching? Yes, sir, I'm telling it like it is, because you know what? You've been give a free pass for too long. Change. 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 Listen to this song. There's nothing too dirty that you can't make worthy. You wash me in mercy. I am clean. Turn it up some more, brother, will you please? Crank her up. Listen to that. Come on, friend. Let him wrap his arms around you right now where you're kneeling, right now where you're sitting, right now where you're standing. Let that change begin. Come on, pray for your pastor friend. He needs revival too. Leonard will tell you he needs a move of God. Leonard will tell you he's sick of routine. He's done the best that he could, but he can't do it by himself. He needs a congregation that'll get behind him and say, Pastor, let's throw routine out the exit sign. Let's get rid of tradition, Pastor. Let's get rid of this little religious format that gets us out in 2 hours. Come on, church. Get behind you, Pastor. Feed this move. Show him you'll support this revival. Be back tonight at 6:30. Do it, God. Do it, God. Change. 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 Washed in the blood of your sacrifice. Your blood flowed red, made me white. My dirty rags are pure as white. I'm clean. I'm clean. Change me, God. I'm clean. Change this man. Change this home, God. Change this marriage. Change this relationship. Change him, God. Change her, Jesus. Do it, God. Touch Taylor, Jesus. Top of our head to the soles of our feet. And all that you created in between, being our heart, soul, mind, body. I pray today, God, Lord, for direction. I pray today for a greater hunger and a greater thirst. I pray for priorities to get totally out of alignment in this house. I said totally out of alignment, meaning what we've been doing, we're going to quit doing. What we hadn't been doing, we're going to start doing. Do it, God. Change. We're going to play it again. Don't you be hurried to get up and leave. You've been waiting on this kind of move for months. You take your time today. If we don't leave by 2:30, that's how revival starts. When you show God that you're tired of doing it your way, and you've had all of the far country you can take, then God will invade this place. God will come in this house and God will do many things in your life you never thought was able. He'll put a spark back in that marriage. He'll cause those kids to line up and come home. He'll cause that husband to clean up his cell phone. He'll cause that wife to get in her lane. Yes. And he'll cause a church to change a community. It's time. It's time for Heart Cry to reach its community. Do it, God. There's nothing too dirty. Nothing. You can't make worthy. Do it, son. Wash me in mercy. I'm clean. I am clean. There's nothing too dirty that you can't make worthy. Wash me. Wash me in mercy. And I am clean. Don't just get up and go back because the person beside you chose to. You take your time, friend. What was dead now lives again. Do it, God. My heart's beating inside my chest. It's time for change. It's time for change. It's time for change. That's it, my friend. That's it, buddy. It's time for change. That's it, my friend. Thank you, Jesus. Do it, God. Do it, God. For some of you, he won't start by doing a headstand on by a drink box machine. God's not going to start with you at Walmart this evening. He may start with some of you, amen, that won't you take a vacation day so you can be at revival this week? Why don't you write a check out and bless so-and-so across the room today? Why don't you go tell somebody you're sorry when you know good and well it wasn't even your fault? Why don't you pick up that piece of paper on the floor that you didn't drop? Huh? He won't always start by a drink box machine in an Applebee's or on the plane with me preaching. That's how God works with me because I've went all through that. He's got me to a place now where I do bold things. But he won't start there with you. He might start today with just getting up out of your seat and coming to an altar, something you've never done before. Or maybe you've done it before, but your heart wasn't in it. Be faithful over the little. Be faithful over the little. Obey the Spirit of God. That's how you go from a graveyard to an army. Cooperation. Pull your heart out, sis. Lift your hands to Jesus. What a song. Natalie Grant, what a song. Your blood flowed red and made me white. Do it, Jesus. Do it, Jesus. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. There you go. Do it, Jesus. Do it, Jesus. Clean. Church, you've got a decision you're going to make. Are you going to have revival this week, or are you just going to find other things to go and do and other places to be? If your boyfriend don't want to come, tell him go do his thing. You're coming to the house of God. If your girlfriend don't want to come with you, sir, why don't you come anyway? The husband's lazy and just wants to sit at the house and use me for excuses because something I said didn't sit right with him. Then let him sit at home and have a pity party by himself. You get ready and come on to church, ma'am. Let me tell you something else. If you don't have a ride, give me a call. I borrowed a truck yesterday, amen. It's got a big bed in the back of it. It ain't got a topper on it. I'll get you here. Huh? I ain't too good. I can't come get you. Be the last time this week you see me in a suit jacket. I got a pair of blue jeans waiting for Monday night. Come on, amen. Huh? I'm just who I am, friend. I'm nothing special. But I am unique. I'm who God made me to be. And I think fewer the voices on the side of truth, the louder and more distinct must be my own. I've been locked up and put in jail in Alabama for preaching on the streets. Mug shot, fingerprints. Had to call the great I am to come get me. That'd be my mama. I knew it was mama because I could see her PhD. The only PhD my mama ever had was her Pentecostal hairdo thing wrapped up on her head just to giving it that. Huh? She's proud of me. My mom's dead now. She died when I was in Africa. Got a phone call. They found her dead in the hallway of a massive heart attack. I came home, preached my mother's funeral, and won 28 people to Jesus Christ laid out around my mother's casket. And the first one to hit the altar was my backslidden brother. My family's complete now. He led me into the nightclubs. I led him into the light club. Huh? My other brother was an alcoholic. He swapped his bar stool for a front pew on Sunday morning. He's out there right now, amen, as an elder in the church. My other brother's in church working security team. It's amazing what God's done in my family. I've been spit on. I had a pastor's wife call me an SOB 3 weeks ago in a foyer. Cussed me out. Pastor's wife. Rough cat. Been in church for 30 years, pastor in the same church. Cussed me out in the foyer because I got on politics. About how Donald Trump was making fun of Carly Fiorina's face and nobody talking about the bird nest on top of his head. She got mad at me. She said, politics don't belong in the pulpit. I said, only liberals think that. You're welcome. That didn't cost you no extra either. Only liberals say that. I think we've kept politics out of the pulpit, and that's what's got us in the mess we're in right now. Yeah, it might be separation, amen, of church and state, but not separation of God and government. Big difference. Get your facts straight. Appreciate all four of you that clap. I love you, heart cry. I've been long enough today. I'll be back tonight at 6:30. 13 pages. I only preached 3 of them. I got some homework to do, don't I? Thank you for the invitation. And most of all, thank you for the liberty and the freedom to be who I am. Just leave that playing, brother. Thank you for letting me be who I am. You may not have liked me. You have that right, not like me. I don't fit everybody. But you know what I think? If you don't like me, that doesn't necessarily make you my enemy. I'm still for you. Just waiting on you to come around to my way of thinking. All right? Love you, church. Thank you for your invitation, for the hospitality, and for your pastor. Give the Lord praise today. Right.
I have no idea what time it is. I don't have my watch. But I know at 6 o'clock tonight we're going to have another service right here. And y'all are invited. Everyone's invited. And your friends are invited. Your neighbors, your family's invited. And so we'd like to see you come back tonight at 6 o'clock. And I don't know if he'll finish this message or he had some others. It's whatever God, however God leads him, he'll do that. But, you know, this is what you've heard today is something that the church needs. It's a gift that God gave the church is the gift of evangelist. And that fivefold ministry has to operate in unison for the church to be effective. And that's why he's here. And that's why we're doing this. I need revival.
Yes, sir.
And we all do.
Yes.
And I want you to take what you have in your bulletin and what I've put in there about revival. We put something in there to read it. It's not a one-time flash. It's not a one-time emotion. It's a heart change.
Come on.
It's a lasting heart change.
That's it.
And so I think... after 3 or 4 services, and maybe it'll be permanent.
Yes.
But anyway, Daniel was truthful when he said, I'll come for nothing. I'll come for nothing. I don't want anything. I want to do this for the church. I've been here before. Know what you've been through. I want to help the church. But, you know, we want to do what's right, and I want to do what's right in God's eyes. So he's not asking for anything, but I'm going to ask you. I want to ask you to give him a love offering.
Yes.
And... we're going to do that right now. And the worship team, if you'll come. And we're just going to take a love offering. And I know you may not have envelopes, but if you want envelopes, we'll get you an envelope. I don't know if we have any back there ushers at the stand or not. But, you know, if you're making a checkout, make it to Heart Cry and just write or on the envelope or write Daniel on it. And we'll make sure that he gets that. But you can make your checks to Heart Cry. And we just want to love him back. And honor God for God sending him here. And we'll do that. Worship team, if you'll lead us through this.